Alléluia. It is a critical moment in the pilgrimage of the saints as we seek to enter into the territory where our inheritance lies. There is no way we can lay hold on that which has been earmarked for us except we are ready to contend. And it is not a new story in Israel that many of the militants of the house of Israel came face to face with their enemies and turned backward in the day of battle. A man that turns backward in the day of battle has not been processed. When he encounters circumstances and he is defeated, such a man doesn't have a rank. The Bible says that if he that falleth on the day of adversity, it is because his strength is small. And the priesthood that God is building, which the Bible says we are, is a priesthood that is built by stones. And ye are lively stones. Unfortunately, a stone does not evolve without a process. Unfortunately, there will have to be a process of qualification that brings a believer to that level, that status, that state, where he is a stone, a priesthood of stones. You may be seated in the house of God. Before I make progress this evening, show us what happens. And show us how responses are secured from heaven. The factors that interface in the courtroom of God in order to secure a response that can change the tide of nations and the governments of many lands. We need to see a few matters. God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, so we are sending a word to the body of Christ by the theme of the conference that is forthcoming, that this hour, this time, the church must rediscover her prayer ministry, lest we run out of relevance in our generation and people will seek to the occult, seek to necromancers, seek through wizardry and to witchcraft, just because the church has lost her relevance. In rediscovering our essence and relevance, God is emphasizing that we return back to our prayer ministry. What we call Europe, what we call the United Kingdom. Europe and the United Kingdom are formed originally by Vandals, by Vikings, by Celts. These guys have dark backgrounds in witchcraft and occultism. They are tracing their foundations in the dark world right now because Christianity failed in those territories. And if the church is going to remain relevant at this point in time, we must secure the base of our reality and power. The church cannot function in her governmental status except she embraces her prayer ministry. Hallelujah. Now, we began a quick an exhortation that to begin to put upon our hearts layer after layer the burden of the Lord that we are passing for this season, so that everyone will be in high spirit and fully tuned and aligned to what God is doing when we sound the trumpet in a few days to come. The scripture we began with, you still remember? Yesterday, 1 Peter. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Alright, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible says, ye as lively stones. That's a metaphor.
That's a similar.
Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's our prayer ministry. And unfortunately, in order for that prayer ministry to... That's our corporate priesthood. That's the corporate priest. And he said that we are set up in order to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, before we go into the intricacies of that scripture, it is needful for us to understand what he means when he refers to us as lively stones. First, we'll begin with stones, then we'll now go into lively stones, then we'll now go into stones that are built up. Hallelujah. Stones first. Stones. Stones. Then living stones. Then what? Living stones that are built up. Not just built up onto any kind of edifice, but built up onto a priesthood in a territory. When such a priesthood is built up, of stones tried, stones tested, stones that are processed, and spiritual sacrifices are offered according to knowledge, a banner is raised that darkness cannot contend with. You know, the Bible says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise a standard against him. The word standard in Hebrew is the same word banner, for banner. And so this priesthood will have the capacity to raise a banner that will become the instrumentality by which darkness is subdued. And so we need to get it right. Get the prescription and the specifications right so that the results also can be right. The church is losing our relevance. Really fast. We started a meeting in the meeting we run here and the one we run. You know, in Lagos, you have a modicum of intellectual. And so we'll preach and then give question and answer. And then suddenly we realize the level of terrible illiteracy, biblical illiteracy in the city of Lagos. Because what? And we said, okay, now can you reduce your question to make it, quote it with the scripture? Let's think in scripture. Then we just realize that people in Lagos don't know the Bible. Intellectuals, we don't want to hear your English. Can you fetch two scriptures and make a complete sense on the strength of scripture? Hey, if God does not intervene, because we felt that the best brand of the Christianity will be found down south. What is there now is opaque, it's oblong, it's amorphous, without a shape. And so in the heart of the Niger, God wants to raise a priesthood. So let's follow the prescriptions meticulously. He said, ye are what? Oh my. Now, you see, if your breath can't even push words out, how shall we successfully offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Now, so let's start with stones. Stones. And if I round up, I will move to the book of Malachi. That's if we have time. Malachi chapter 1. Stones. Alright. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Please don't forget where we are starting from. It says, ye are what? Lively stones built up into a spiritual house a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, not acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. That's where we are coming from. Alright, so in order for us to understand what this whole thing is, let's start by understanding what the scripture says we are. Living stones. So let's start with stones first. Then we'll go to what? Living stones. Then we'll go to stones that are built up. And then stones that are built up into a priesthood. Then we'll go into spiritual sacrifices. Then we'll show you spiritual sacrifices that are not accepted. And then we'll now see spiritual sacrifices that are accepted and the basis upon which such acceptance is established. And then we'll see spiritual sacrifices accepted to God because they were processed, they were demanded by Christ himself. All right. Good. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. Therefore, this is liberal. Just in case there's a theologian here. Because of time, that's why I'm reading 16 directly. Because the practice of theology demands that you commence reading from a stem. This is not a stem, this is a branch. Alright, so we'll go to 16 because of time. Therefore, thus hear the Lord. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Then he now put a colon there and he said, he that believeth shall not make it. He said, I lay in Zion. What? You are not with me. I know you don't like what I want to say, but we are already here. I lay in Zion a stone. That same stone that is laid in Zion, because God will not use a stone that is not tested. So that stone will have to be tried. It is after the stone is tried that it now attains the status of being precious. It is when the stone is now regarded as precious that it can be considered whether it can play the role of a cornerstone. Because the function of that stone is that it will become a facility upon which heavy weight will rest. And so if you are not tried, if you are not tested, when you are put into the superstructure, you are likely to bend over and to break open. So God does not use any stone that he has not tested, he has not tried. So we are not talking about just being born again here. The priesthood that the scriptures is referring to here is not just a priesthood of a coalition of believers. He said, I lay in Zion a stone. Everything you are seeing in that scripture is something that is done deliberately in view of a deliberate expectation. Hallelujah. Okay. Most of you have seen where they make burnt bricks. Huh? Yeah, or you have not seen that? Most of you have seen that. They get the clay, they put it into shape by putting it into something like that, and then they fire it to give it capacity, tenacity, tensile strength. But God will not just use that stone because it is fired. He will now test it, whether it can withstand pressure. It is when it has passed the test that it now attains the status of precious. So let's start again. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to me. There are times in your Christian life when God, you just call God and then he brings answers. That's when you start the process. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and find safety. It's an experience in Christ Jesus. And then a time comes when God begins to consider to use you for something that is pivotal. And that time, the economy that surrounds the administration of your life changes a little. God will now subject you to a test and series of tests. What you will do when a circumstance comes up that looks like it is promising. Meanwhile, you have to compromise or stand with God in order to align with the benefit that the circumstance is presenting. If you will have to align with the flesh in order to appropriate the so-called benefit that is captured within the circumstance, it means you are not strong enough for some kind of kingdom pressure. And God will ensure that you are kept in hiding as far as critical kingdom matters are concerned. So the priesthood we are talking about is made of men that have developed a kind of shape and a kind of structure that is a function of testing and trials that they survived. Even the highest principalities in the regions of darkness, they understand something. That because Christ is domiciled in your spirit, they cannot affect your spirit. They cannot affect your inner environment. That's what every true victor must know. So, but what they do is they are not sure whether you are sure that the capacity you have inside is strong enough for any kind of pressure in life. They are not sure whether you are sure of that. So they come around and then they kindle circumstances. Sometimes you have to go through a process of lack and want for about 6 years. And it's just like that. It's just like that. Nothing changes. You fast, you pray, you do dry fasting, you move out to the mountaintop in the bush so that just in case there's a break in transmission, the network is not effective. Right there on the mountain, you have free access to God. And when you do all the kind of stuff you know how to do, and you come back, the circumstance does not change. The reason is because God wants you to understand that there is a deposit of himself that is immortal, that resides upon your inside. And his intention is that your life will take the shape of the capacity of that deposit. And as long as that deposit is there, there is nothing that truly can come against you that deposit does not have enough capacity to provide the shock absorbers for you to survive. The thing is, even if you don't fight, even if you don't contend, even if you don't go into battle, there is an ability inside that cannot be subdued. If you can take on the form of that ability that is raging on the inside, Satan can knock and knock and knock, and he will not find your elastic limit. God knows that. Such is the investment of grace that domiciles the spirit of a man that has found God. But you are not sure of the capacity of what God has invested inside of you is. You are not sure of the ability that is raging on your inside. You are not sure of the tensile strain, the tensile strength, the capacity of that which is raging. And as long as you are not sure, you are likely to compromise, derail, to bend the rule that is in the kingdom of God in order for you to take advantage of a perceived benefit. That ability to bend is a proof that you cannot feature in that prison. You are not yet a stone. A stone takes an immortal form. Whether you don't like how it looks, that's how it looks. A stone can... Are you with me? Have you seen a mountain before? It's so ugly. There's one that looks like a nose of a human being. Whether you like it or not, that's the shape. And that shape evolved like that because of pressure and temperature. Because of... Are you with me? So it takes a shape that is in line with the process that it has gone through. And God wants you to take that immortal shape. A shape that you have assumed on the account of the pressure you survived and you did not yield. Only stones will last. Only stones will remain when the battle is over. Is there a place in Zion? A stone. It is first a stone. Then he has to go through the crucible of fire and pressure. Then it becomes a dry stone. That's the one that can withstand all kinds of stuff. It has already taken a shape. A shape that is as a result of the trials he survives. He can't assume another shape. It's already solidified. That's how it is. And so God will have to build it into the structure with that shape that he assumed because of the pressure that he survived. Such a man that has taken a shape on the account of the oppressor, and he did not break, he did not bend. Principalities even know that they have no business with him. They can't conquer him. He has found and appropriated the capacity of the investment of God that he contacted from Jesus Christ. So he lives by that capacity. There is nothing of this world you can entice him with that will be so attractive that he will now change his shape to accommodate. He's already set in. He's already shaped. He's already taken a structure. The things he has gone through has imparted upon his calibration. He has taken a kind of structure that nothing can bend anymore. That immortal structure is what the Bible uses the simile to symbolize. Ye are lively stones. He is not addressing every believer. Can you see the protocol? From where? From stone to what? When we were in the university, there were many anointed men. By the time I was in 100 level, there were many, many anointed men. If I mention some of them, you will know them. Burning with fire. It was a campus of fire. Jesus. All kinds of stuff. I remember our prayer group those days. I don't know. Those guys were nocturnals. You never identified them in the daytime. But in the night, you need to come and hear tongues like frogs that are groaning. They were nocturnals. Their power is unleashed at night. Oh, Lord have mercy. But we did not know that all the prayers that we offered actually put us on course to be tried. God wanted to evolve a priesthood out of our lives. We did not know that God's intention was that he was going to put us through the process just because we are promising. I hope you know it was God himself that attracted problem to Job. He advertised Job in the wrong place. And Satan took interest. Because he knew what would be the result of the pressure. Just in case Job survives. Job now. How do they call it? The cement. Where you put cement is. When he sets. Job has set into a ship. He knows what will happen. But it will only take trial. That will make you set like that. When they try a man with women, no, he's set. Try him with money, he's set. He said, okay, let's change the weather. It will affect his prayer life. He's set. The power by which he prays is not in the weather. When he's in the hot, hot Amazon of my God, he's okay. It's good enough for him to exercise his muscles. And if he climbs to the mountains or plateau, it's even better. The power that sustains him is not on earth. It's not in the river. It's not on the mountain top. The capacity resides on his inside. And he has perfected how to use the resources and the potentials that that capacity has, such that nothing external can influence him. That is a stone. He has taken on the immortal shape of the deposit of God inside of his spirit. It is with those kind of stones that he builds a priesthood. And you know there's so much compromise in the body of Christ. That's why 3 million people will gather on the campground and they raise prayers to heaven. He cannot shift principalities and power. But Daniel will kneel down in his room. And he will make petitions and supplication to God facing the east. And suddenly angels have dispatched to minister to him. And when they saw that he was still praying, after the answers were released, they had to send Michael to go check. Can they send Michael because of you? God will send Michael to recover stones. We'll send Michael to recover stones. Those ones don't die like that. Even if Fulani multiplies, those ones have a covenant of life. Yes, stones. They have set in their immortalship, and they emit a light. It is refractive, a kind of illumination that oozes out of their spirit by Christ. Is refracted by the uniqueness of their shape as a stone. That is what gives it a name that is different from another. Such a man, principalities have forgotten about them. Say, leave that one. He is a stone. He is set in his ways. Go for the ones that are still trying to settle. The cement is still trying to settle. Try to influence the shape. Try to make it, make him develop an appetite through which you can govern him. Make him like something that is inconsistent with the order that he represents. So that from that point we can always influence his life, influence his destiny. And if we survive on that point in his life, we will also have a great likelihood to survive in the life of his son at that same point too. Hallelujah. Now so the stone is first a stone set in Zion. Then it's a tried stone. Then it's what? It's a precious stone. Based on this one, I have to whisper. Hallelujah. An analysis was, it's statistics, research was carried out recently in the Pentecostal fold. And it was gathered that 60% of Pentecostal ministers use charms to minister. Right? I'm talking of Nigeria. The research was done in Nigeria. I will not go further. But these are live researches from the biggest Pentecostal ministries in this country. Hallelujah. 60% of ministers use diabolical powers on the pulpit. Then we wonder why we congregate in millions and we cannot move, shift principalities. We don't have a shape in the immortal realm, so we cannot feature in the priesthood. We have not yet gained the status of precious. When heaven looks upon the material and says, this one is precious, so heaven has to defend it. Michael has to go for it. I remember the story that was told because I read the chronicles of the great prophet Babalola of CAC, that he was praying one night and Michael came to his aid. And Michael was so big, so bogus, that he knew that if Michael should touch down, the foundation of the house where he was praying would shatter. So Michael just suspended up there, just to help the foundation. to help the foundation of the building. He just suspended there and addressed him. I hope you know that Elijah ate angel's bread and he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. I hope you know Jesus had a meat of which we did not know. And when they wanted to crucify him, his garment was seamless. I know you have worn garments of all sorts, but you have not worn a garment that is seamless yet. By what means was he able to have a garment that had no stitch? It was seamless. No way. Okay, you don't. Okay. I don't need to digress. I would have shown you the relationship between your diet and your garment in the book of Isaiah. His garment was seamless. Now, these guys ate manna, which is angel's bread, and for 40 years they did not need a change of raiment because their garments grew out, their shoes grew out. There's a relationship with what you eat and what you wear. So, Jesus had a garment that was seamless. Are you with me? I went into all that trouble because when Michael appeared to him, Angel Michael, he brought food for him. It was after he ate Michael's bread, the bread that Michael brought, that he became more like one of the cherubs. Much more like the cherubs than mortal men. During praise and worship, he suspends in the church. Suspend. Not that they are doing the deliverance, they're just worshiping God. And then suddenly, you see someone rising from the ground. Is that one immortal? That's a stone. And every one of us has that capacity in Christ Jesus. But many people will live and die without attaining that state. Just like we have liquid state, we have gaseous state, we have what? We have solid state. A stone is a state. How can you explain? William Branham was in a service and he took a stone from the ground. And when he took that stone, and he said, as he's dropping this stone, there will be earthquake. That's a stone. That's a colossus. America, there was the greatest earthquake of his time took place after he dropped that stone. That the land had gone into iniquity. And he had been sent as the voice of judgment. That's a stone. The dimensions of God's dealings we will never see in a generation until the stones come back from their journey. It was by a stone that the principality called Goliath came down. It was by a stone that the image of jealousy that was raised in Babylon, based on the vision of the king, a stone that a human hand did not cut, he hit that image and brought it down. All the human governments that have risen again and again and have brought treachery to the territory, it was by a stone that it was diminished. I lay in Zion. There's a critical assignment that this stone will be used to perform. Because of that, God will subject them to tests, tensile tests, tensile strain, in order for his capacity to be rated. It's on the strength of that rating that he gains the status of precious. After precious, then what do we have? A sure foundation. It's either used for a foundation or for a cornerstone. But if it's used for a foundation, that foundation is sure because it's tested. If it's used for a cornerstone, that cornerstone is precious because it's tested. As we grow in destiny, as we grow in life, as you grow in the kingdom, you will lose your privateness. Very soon, your money will not be your money anymore. Your life won't be your life. And the kingdom keeps demanding that you lay down more. Lay down more. Lay down. Even when you don't see any more to lay down, the kingdom is saying, lay down. The only thing that the mortals can respect is sacrifice. Okay? The mortals do not respect the fact that you bought Toyota Matrix and you are driving in town. No. But David said, when those guys fought and went to the well at Bethlehem and they brought him water, and David, through the discipleship that he received from Samuel, he understood how to rate a spiritual substance. When they brought the water, he said, "Kai, this water at this point is equivalent to blood." So that is the rating that the immortals get that water. He knew that rating because he was discipled in the way of priesthood. The immortals are not concerned about how that maybe you got a job and you married. By the time we go to the book of 1 Corinthians from chapter 2, and when we begin to read it carefully, you begin to see the things of men. There are some things that are called the things of men. There are some things also that are called what? The things of God. Now, why is it that Jesus rebuked Peter as if he was rebuking the devil? And he rebuked the devil as if he was rebuking Peter. He said, "For thou savourest not the things that be of God." You don't even understand the things of God. That's why you committed this blunder. At that point, when that water was brought, that water was the things, was part of the things of the immortals because of the sacrifice that was put into the process of procuring it. It was not a drink for men. You think you have a good job, and then suddenly you now say, "All right, you are going to do this and do that." And you give and give and give until giving becomes a lifestyle. The spirit of giving comes upon you. And if God has helped you, he now gives you a wife too that has that kind of bad attitude. So everybody is mad in the whole environment. Alright? And giving becomes a lifestyle. Most times you even know what you will use the money for before it comes. You need to go to him to take permission to build the house. You say, wait, first, wait. He controls that. Controls everything. A time comes when nobody can bribe your soul with money again. Because a lot of people believe that every man has a price. And then suddenly they find a man that nothing on earth can buy him. That is a stone. He's not here. He's not operating from here. He serves the things that be of God. He has no regard for the things of men. He has experienced conversion and transition. You will look at him because he enters the same bus with you and you think you the things that worry you are the same. No, he is not troubled about the things of men. He is troubled about the things of God. Hallelujah. When we go to the zonal office or to the head office in our workplace, we now begin to see people doing eye service so that they will have promotion. Somebody will enter into the manager's office, spoil you, and then come out and sees you outside. Say, hey, Abba! And then I now saw that they were elementals. They were so diminished and demeaned. I'm not living for what you are living for. And that's why they can't understand why I would like Gombe. They are not paying you money for transfer. The people that are living where they are living back to their families. You are living to the northeast where there is Boko Haram. Meanwhile, I've already seen my pulpit in the desert without a congregation. And I called on him and asked him for insight. He said, that is intercession. You will minister to a desert land without seeing the people you are ministering about. I'd already seen that. Hallelujah. There are things that be of God. And there are things that be of men. And then suddenly, this Colossus is entangled with the things that be of God. So much so, that in fact his life is structured in such a way that he's aligned and interfaces with the things that be of God. That's no longer a human being. It's not a human. No, it's not a human. It's a stone. He has different levels of preferences. His conviction is priceless. He's a man of whom his generation is not worthy. Hallelujah. He's set in his ways. There is no new invention in the kingdom of darkness that can entice him. He has taken on a shape and a form. That form is an immortal form. With reference to the power that is deposited on the inside. And how much he has come to depend upon that power in the light of pressures and circumstances that principalities have thrown at him. It's a stone. It's a tested stone. It's a tried stone. He becomes a precious stone, then it can become a cornerstone. Because God will not use a stone that he has not tested. Now, let's go. Even if we find a stone, the kind of stone that will actually fit into this great structure that God is about to put up is not just a normal stone, it's not just an ordinary stone, but it's a living stone. A living stone. In order to explain living stone, there's life in that stone. There is a witness from that stone. There is a testimony that the stone bears. It's not just a stone, but it's a precious stone. It's a jewel. And it bears the testimony. So I wanted to enter that yesterday, but there was no time. Are you with me? Your prayers are more powerful when you refuse to compromise. You see, two people pray for somebody and then something happens when and that person prays. Then you say, what happened? No, this man is a stone. He was tempted and tested the same way this other guy was tested. He decided that he will not be enticed by anything that is not in the kingdom of God. Alright? This one takes the shape of the environment. Anything that comes, anything that goes, and it keeps going like that. And then he wants to have power with God. That is not true. Now, so God is setting up a priesthood, and the priesthood is made of lively stones. Now let's do this scripture quickly before I take you to the book of Malachi. And then we'll begin to talk about spiritual sacrifices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Maybe we'll do Revelation. I did not plan for this now anyway, but let's see. I don't know how far we can go here. Revelation chapter 21. We'll begin from verse 10. But don't forget what we're doing. Don't forget what we're doing. It was Jesus that said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are a city that is set upon an hill that cannot be hid. In the words of Jesus, you are a city. You are the light. So you are the light and you are a city. That's the word of Jesus himself. This is the city that you are. In the book of Revelation chapter 21 from verse 10, you see the city. You know, Jesus said the city that is set upon what? Oh my God, you are not with me. A city that what? Is set upon what? A hill. Don't forget that. Okay, because this is the city. In verse 10 of Revelation chapter 21, he said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great high what? Because the city is set where? Upon what? A hill. And he showed me a great city. What's the name of the city? The Holy Jerusalem. Descending out of heaven from God. The first characteristic of the city is that it's called the Holy Jerusalem. Holy Jerusalem. Now, I need to explain that a little. What does it mean when we say something is holy? Holy. Is what? Set apart. What do you mean by set apart? Belongs to God. You have 30% separated unto God. That is just, that's the normal church perspective. Without blemish. No, it has nothing to do with blemish or not. It's consecrated unto God. Now, just like if I go to the market and I buy a cup, right? You know, if you take the cup home, you can use it to drink water. But when you take the cup and you bring it to church and say, I dedicate this cup to church, it means based on that dedication that you did, that cup should never be used for what human beings use cup for. Oh my, are you with me? The cup has only one use. Only the one that you dedicated it to can use it thereafter. So it's still a cup, but it's a dedicated cup. It can't do what normal cups do. It will only do the kind of bidding that him that you gave the cup to wants to subject it to. Maybe you bought 10 of it and you decided to give one. You still have 9 at home and you are drinking with it, but you can't drink with this one after you dedicate it to a spirit. It's the spirit that will determine the use he puts it to. Now, so in Bible days, we call the 9 at your house common cups. And then we call this one holy cup. Because this one, it will be an abomination for you to use this one and you take it home, you escape with it, and you use it to drink. A curse will come upon you. Because the spirit that you gave it to will fight you. You get that? Are you with me? Now, so we can use many other words. It's separated unto God, good. Huh? Consecrated unto God, good. Saturated by God. That is a higher definition which we can't bring into this class. It's sacred. What makes it sacred is because it has been given to... Do you understand what I'm talking about? So when we are saying Holy Jerusalem, it's a city that is different from every other city. It's a city that is different because it has been given unto God. It's God's idea that regulates it. The Holy Jerusalem. And that Holy Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. Don't forget that it's the Holy Jerusalem. Okay? It's coming down from heaven. Meanwhile, that city is is you. Because our nationality is of heaven. That's where our reality is. So, let's go. So, Holy Jerusalem is separated unto God. Its definition, its essence, its usefulness can only be spoken about by the one that is dedicated to. Okay? Are you still with me? Alright. Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. First and foremost, the Bible says that that city has the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. The city has the glory of God. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. God wants to use your life as a theater. A theater to manifest His essence, His capabilities, His glory, His essence upon the face of the earth. It's an earthen vessel, but there's a treasure inside. That treasure that is inside will make the earthen vessel have more value than just a mere earthen vessel. Because the glory of God is factored within it. There was a glory that was found upon the face of Moses. It was a glory that came upon him because of contact with God. He retained that glory on his face. And the more when he left the presence of God, the glory began to diminish. But in the New Testament, when we talk about glory, we are not talking about something that is diminishing, but something that is excelling in strength, in brilliance and power. We are not talking about a glory that is external. We are talking about a glory that is internal, which is casted by the very presence of God that tabernacles your heart. Hallelujah. And it is expected that your life will be lived on the basis of that heavenly resource that God has invested into you. So that you no longer live by reason of the infirmities that is the description of the human life, but you live beyond the infirmities. That means your life is exhibiting something that you are more than the normal, natural, canon man. You have access to the glory of God. This city is describing you. Now, I've confirmed that it's describing you. Let me go where I'm going, because I don't have time. Hallelujah. So we now have the Stone Age now. This is the Stone Age. Having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone. Most precious, even like what? Like jasper. Clear as crystal. The light did not come because there was a light bulb. He said like her light was what? Please read for me. Her light was what? That stone is what? Is it a precious stone? Most precious. Been tried many times. It came out wonderful. Came out sufficient for the task. And then he has a place in that city. And the appearance of which was like jasper. Clear as crystal. No guile. No form of guile whatsoever. That means every deposit of God that comes upon it is manifested and refracted and reflected to a generation because it's a custodian of the glory of God. Only stones make it to that particular structure. Only stones. Oh my God, I don't have time. There are 17 stones on that building. Beryl is green. It's the color of life. Oh my Jesus. The color of life. You see a man and you know he's full of life. You see, when he comes to a place, we went somewhere, somebody died, they were mourning. They just finished the burial. So we did not come early enough to meet the burial. And the people were mourning. The cries were strange. And then we went to see the woman, the widow that was left behind after the demise of the man. And they were interpreting because it was a language I could not speak. So they told them that a pastor has come and the pastor wants to pray for her. So, you know, somebody that is mourning. Okay. Would they receive prayer here? Would they receive prayer? Then I began to pray. And then suddenly the Spirit of the Lord descended upon me. Then I began to prophesy. The prophecy was was heavily laden with a lot of details that confirmed so many things in her life. You know what happened at the end of the prophecy? The yoke of money broke. There could not money be. Even if you try to money to be fake, the yoke, it was a spirit. Money is a spirit. The yoke broke and life came back. Hallelujah. Life came back. And we went, when we went, we still followed them up and found out that they did not go back to money. So what happened was permanent. They were taken from the mat of money, and the garment of praise and joy came into the place. Oh, there's something called life. There's something called life. I don't want to go into burial. It will take us too much time. Inorganic stones and organic stones, all of them are in that building. Some people are carriers of life. Death doesn't hang around them. They have a covenant with the immortal, with the invincible. The Bible says the thing that made Moses to leave Egypt. Egypt was the light of the world at that time. But someone saw something that was superior to the wisdom of Egypt. And for that he was able to risk going into the desert, into the wilderness alone. The Bible revealed in the book of Hebrews that he saw him that was invincible. Hallelujah. It was life he saw. And when he came back to Egypt, full of life, there were 12 spirits in that particular Egypt that were lieutenants for death. Those spirits could not subdue a man because he was full of that which cannot die. Beryl. Now, let's leave that. I just showed you small. It's a snapshot. That's how we fit into the city. And then those immortal materials that will reflect, like jasper, is an immortal state. It's an immortal state that bears the appearance of God. Hallelujah. Now, because of time, maybe when we meet again before the conference, we'll continue this our study. Then I'll bring the 17 stones in that building. 17 realities in that building. 17 realities. All the realities are not just stones. There are other issues that we need to raise from there to add to the stones. It will make a list of 17 things. Then when you see it, that's how God is expecting us to operate. When you begin to move more into Christ Jesus and God begins to form you and God begins to shape you, you now discover that you actually bear the characteristics of one of those stones. Yes. It's an immortal reality. And the deposit of God that is in you is supposed to take you to that point where you take on an immortal shape. Where you are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Where you live and abide forever. And that's why I put that clause there. I lay in Zion, a stone, a child stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Then he now added a column. He that believeth shall what? Not make me. Environmental things cannot move him into action. He is like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That's, it is from his lifestyle that we know whether he has taken his structure as a stone. When you see somebody, there's one man, I won't call his name. Yeah, he always has answer. When you call him, I say, you are wasting time. Time is going to say, no, God, Holy Ghost spoke, Jesus spoke, Jesus. We have waited for how many years now? Paul Ego, how many years? He's not a stone. That one is, he's not in Christ, he's growing. He's growing in something else, but not in Christ. Because if you are growing in Christ, you should end up an immortal yourself. You should take on a state that is strange and foreign to this world. You should take on a definition that this world cannot understand. That definition that this world can't entice, this world can't influence, the principalities cannot manipulate. And though you are in this world, you are not of this world. That state is what is captured in immortal context as a stone. So come with me. Now, if we have stones available. God wants to build us into a priesthood. It means it's a corporate priest. And you know, if God is building, the building is a deliberate action. You know that building is deliberate. It doesn't just appear overnight. Bring block, put one block. Bring this, put. But the problem with the building is raw materials. Because ye and me are the stones. And God will not use a stone that he has not tried. That's the problem. It's raw materials for the building. But when he begins to get stones from our lives, people that cannot be influenced by the spirit of this age, then out from among them, he begins to erect a structure. And he calls that structure a holy priesthood. Now, so he's referring to a corporate priest, not just a personal priest, but a corporate priest that is fashioned by tried men. They had opportunities to bow to the devil, opportunities to serve Satan and serve him well. But they rejected the devil and chose God, even though it was difficult. Then when God gathers his people, he makes out of them a priesthood. When they gather together to pray, they can change governments. They can change the weather. If they know how to offer accurate spiritual sacrifices. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because God encountered me not too long ago and showed me our corporate rank. That the day of priesthood will be born in this conference. Amen. Because he has stones among us. You know, we started like boys. All the things you suffered, there were opportunities. But it was so difficult. You prayed, you fasted, it didn't change. He's forming his tool. He's forming his tool. The beauty of the church that will rise in this locality is that it will be a church of stones. Before we move into spiritual sacrifice, let us take a refresher course for 15 minutes, then we'll stop for today. Malachi chapter 1. Your priesthood will be missed, will be discredited just because of that little compromise. In the days to come, when you need intervention, you will discover that you lack the ability to move the hand of God. So God has instructed us to give the word out to the body of Christ that time has come when the priesthood of stones must be assembled in order for God to have a holy priesthood built up in the territory. In the book of Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, you know those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those are stones. They say, we will not bow down. For we are not careful about this matter. And even if God decides that our death will be of service to him, such that he refuses to respond, our mind is already made up. We are colossuses. We function by conviction. And the threat of death is not strong enough to make us lose our status and our shape. We are fastened into this mold and we can't change. And it's something we cannot apologize about. We are not careful about. That's a stone. He can't change his mold, his shape, just because a tyrant rises. You see, it was not an angel that was sent to deliver them. Because God will always seek out his stones. He will always seek out his stones. It was the Son of Man himself that appeared in the midst of the fire. Not angels. Why? Because that stone has become precious. If we lose this one, it will cost us. So there are some people that have an extensive protection policy on their lives. Because heaven will lose if those ones are taken out. And so if there are some times where Jesus himself will be the one that will ensure that the tables are manipulated. Because it takes generations to develop this type. We are preparing him to be a cornerstone in the revival movement somewhere. Oh, no. Fulani can't take this type. Fulani, no. He is precious. We didn't know that all those prayers we prayed like nocturnals on campus, and we thought we were spiritual people until God now said, I have many candidates applying for testing in view of stoneship. When the test began to come, I discovered that even while we prayed, we were not many. Because God saw us in our immortal context and our capacities. Many years down the road, our numbers slimmed up according to the rating of the sanctuary. And only very few became stones. So God will fight to preserve this stone. He will fight. Now, in the book of what? Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1, verse 11. I trust God to be able to set this out. Now I ask him for utterance. It's a complex scripture. But this scripture most accurately presents the body of the moment. From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord. Can you see the mandate? In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name and what? A pure offering. Liakoma tala mahandaya. For in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering. These are the words of God. Incense shall be offered. A pure offering shall be offered. This is the mandate of stones. They are living sacrifices that exist not for their own purposes, but exists for God's agenda. And every breath of life that they take is to the end that something in God, an agenda in God, must see the light of fulfillment. He says, in every place, incense must be offered unto the name of the Lord and what? Let's start with incense. We need to do this too before we can now talk about spiritual sacrifice. Incense and a pure offering. Have you heard what Jesus said? He said, if you want to give your offering, and you discover that a brother has problem with you, don't bother offering it. He said, go back. Be reconciled with your brother before you come back and give the offering. Which is a scripture that I believe most Christians are not practicing. That scripture is a minor. It doesn't see so much of compliance. The scripture may not be relevant until what we want to offer is incense. Then you realize that there's a protocol that is required. Now, listen to me. It's your heart that is the altar. God does not take money, as it were. Physical money. It's, you give the money to God, we receive it, but something else leaves you. There is something in your heart. When you gave it, before you gave it physically, you had released it from your heart. Because I know there was a time God said that you give 500,000. I gave him the money, physical money. But I released it from my heart 2 weeks later. So the incense came 2 weeks later. Because I didn't release it. So two reactions take place. There was a time you released it from your heart. Because I've seen sometimes like that, that God said, give me this. And I said, all right, it's yours. But I'm not giving the money physically. You understand? And the miracles he promised started happening even before I gave the physical cash. Because incense had ascended to heaven. Now, if your objective is incense, you will ensure that the regulations concerning incense are carefully and meticulously followed. That is the day when that scripture is of essence. Incense. So I want to give incense. It's going to arise from my heart. There is something that is going to obstruct my incense from ascending to God. And that obstruction is going to come because somebody's spirit has been offended. And the person in that state of offense, his offense is raising an incense that is ascending to the court of heaven, in the which my own offering is going to have to go through contention and litigation before it can be accepted. Jesus said, no need to go ahead. Go and quench the other incense first. Go and quench that one. There are many things that will begin to emphasize if what we want to establish is priesthood. Priesthood has power. It doesn't matter whether you were born on a full moon, on a rock, and the name of Amadioha was mentioned when your mother released you into this world. I tell you, if we understand what priesthood is, and stones begin to emerge, stones, we can blot out the ordinance that has been written. We can reverse the judgment that was proclaimed. We can invoke power so much that every disobedience is revenged. But only stones can do that. See, so in order for that incense to have a sweet, because it's no longer going to heaven in form of words, it's going there as incense. Because it's what rises from your heart. Hallelujah. I hope you know the immortal realm feeds on sacrifice. Humanity and selfishness does not like sacrifice. It's a philosophy of self-preservation, self-protection, self-edification. All of that. That is what humanity is about. But in order to make sense to the immortal, you give away what humans hoard. And then he now has a value in the sanctuary. Only stones can live like that perpetually. They are no longer entities that serve the way of men, but the way of God. These are the ones that have power with God. These are the ones that have capacity to prevail with God. Because their very essence is caught up in the will of God. Now, so, when that incense ascends from your heart, and he ascends into heaven. Let me show you where what happens in heaven. Before we now, I want to give you this background understanding before we talk about spiritual sacrifices. It's in plural because there are many. Oh my. Ruka baba baba. Ruke kanabo sokono. Yakombashik. Samuel stood up in dry season. And he wanted Israel to know that it was a precious stone before God. And he offered a sacrifice. According to the wisdom of his food, rain fell in dry season. As a sign. It's not that, as a sign that he is God's own. Hey, Maria Kone Kosina. You can subdue, you can put into bondage the elements. If your name is known in the spirit, if you are one of the stones. All right. Let's go to Revelation quickly as I round up. No more time. You know, don't forget to incense and what? A pure offering. And he says that he wants that kind of reciprocation of love in every place. Now, this is it. Whether your village will experience visitation, because I hope you know visitations and schedules. He pre-appointed the boundaries of our habitation and the times of our visitation. So, he pre-appointed our visitation. So, visitations are schedules. Schedules that heaven puts in place. Are you with me? It is expected that if this incense rises from every place, then it means that the case of that locality is ascending to heaven. So God, on the strength of the incense that is coming from that locality, schedules a visitation for that place. You wonder why your family has not been visited since? It is incense that is here. not words. Maybe you have been praying very well, but you have not yet considered the other appendages that ensure that your incense will not be obstructed. Sometimes, in order for your prayers and your incense to ascend properly, you may need to go and tell somebody sorry. The person you are telling sorry, you didn't offend him. The person just felt offended. If we go into priesthood, those details have to be captured. Like a priest, the Bible says, thou hast power with God and thou hast prevailed. We are talking about men that will gain power with God and prevail over every circumstance, over everything that principalities, wise spirits, are plotted against. He says he has power with God. And what? Prevail. Okay. Before I close, no time. Revelation, finally. Revelation 5. Finally. I found out that there's a higher plane of influence in Christ. There's a higher plane. My ambition is to attain, to reach that plane. For in the days in which we live, only stones can appear before the court and bring witness. Only stones. In Revelation chapter 5, turn quickly. And I saw in the side, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. These are immortal demands. Demands that arise from where flesh and blood does not exist. Things that bother the mortals in heaven. These are immortal demands. Who is worthy? That was the problem of heaven that time. To open the seals. To look upon the book. Who is worthy? And then the statistician of the spirit went into the archives of statistics and came up with the result of the research. And then when they looked among men, there was no man found. No man found. Now, one of the first things I want to introduce to you about the mortal realm is a realm whose demands are uncompromising. The fact that no man was found did not mean that they reduced the standard. No man was found. Now, I want you to see how far they looked for a man. No man was found in heaven, nor where? There, nor where? Under the earth. The one that had was sleeping. When their records appeared before heaven. He said, this kind of requirement here, no man has stature enough to advance and to furnish it. And they looked for men where? In heaven. They looked for men where? On earth. They looked for men where? On that day. And the statistician came with the records and said, of the stock of men, either in heaven, earth, or beneath the earth, no man was found. Suddenly John began to weep. Because as long as no one has stature to break those seals, the secrets in them will ever be concealed. And it happens to be that the kingdom forges ahead through mysteries and secrets. And until those secrets are unveiled, until seals break, no new civilization appears in heaven. And if no new civilization appears in heaven, no new manifestation will find expression. When men are sought to uncover seals, to break seals. It's not mere mortars that are sought. It is stones of different shapes and sizes. It's the witness, the testimony, the lifestyle, the conviction of men across the nations, even men, just ones whose spirit have been made public. And heaven searched to find who was worthy, and there was none in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. There are three problems here. Opening the book, read the book. You can't even look upon it. It's shrouded in light and fire. You will not successfully see the pages. As John began to cry, then one of the elders, the wise men, because John was not in the meeting. When the proclamation was made, there was an inner caucus meeting. An inner caucus meeting where it was revealed that somebody has qualified to take inventory of this book. John was not there, so John was taken. So one that had the stature to be in that inner caucus meeting now came out and now told John, weep not. He just came from. The spirit realm is a strange place. It's a terrible place. Very terrible place. You are there in the realm. The breaking news that just came out, you are not. It's a world of stones. May your own stone be able to survive the blazing fire. May it stand and be in fire, in the midst of fire, and may it abide. There are many things that melt under the weight of that fire. Not every stone can survive there, but may your own stone survive the fire. The guy was outside in the outer court crying, and one who had stature, his description, his name was not mentioned, that was part of the inner caucus meeting, came out and said, weep not. There's new development on this matter. A strange wonder has taken place. He said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the traces village, he said, is of the root, the stock of David. He has prevailed. Are you aware that this requirement that heaven had, only a man was qualified to, it was for men? That's what I'm saying. But no man was one. And it took some time. And then they now traced the stock of David and found a colossus. One that was man, but yet he did not live like man. One that was man, but yet he did not die like man. One that defied everything about humanity, that lived on a new frame of reference, lived on the basis of a different reality. Only that man qualified, and he was from the stock of the household of David. He said, weep not. Some activities, a new development has come in the inner sanctuary. Now, I was expecting, because when they said one of the house of David has prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals, and to look thereon, I was expecting a giant with broad chest. But you see, the immortal realm is not the realm of men. I beheld and lo, a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven heads and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God. I don't have time for that today. But those seven horns, where did he get it? He got it from Philippians chapter 2. The seven things that he needed to do in order for him to sacrifice himself in such a way that the mortals will accept as an atonement for the original sin which plagued all men. I don't have time for that. He got seven horns, authority in every sphere and every realm. What matters there is how many horns do you have? In how many spheres will your authority be realized? When the madman of Gadara spoke, he said, we know Paul. He has a horn that we recognize. His identity is established in the kingdom from whence we operate. In how many realms will your name pass the test? I don't want to go into that. Let's leave that. Let's leave. Someone survived. And then, of the root of David, he had prevailed to open the book to loose the seals thereof. Leave verse 6. Leave it. Not today. 7 eyes. The judging eyes. Leave it. We have a lot to do. A lot of Bible study to do. Before this one can come. So let's leave that one. Leave verse 6. Till another time. Alright. Verse 7. And he came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. When the book was taken, he did not just directly break the seal. Verse 8 is the key of that scripture. And this is a purely mortal scenario. He says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, everyone having harps and golden vials, full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. So as the incense is ascending to heaven, and the elders now bring their harps. So their harps and their worship in heaven is mingled with the odors or the incense that ascends from earth. It is that environment of the mixture of odor and worship that seals can be broken. Without that environment, no seal is broken. I hope you know your calling. It's not everything about it you know now. But you will now release incense, and a time will come where a ceremony will be conducted in heaven and another seal will break. That's when there's a revelation of an additional part of your life is revealed from there, and that's how that civilization can come to you here. The kingdom is a kingdom of secrets, a kingdom of seals. Things are kept under lock and key until there's a priesthood. That's why God is so desperate about a priesthood on earth that will specialize in offering incense. It is that incense that mixes with heavenly worship that creates the environment where what seals are broken. Finally, remember the things that are hidden, they belong to God. The things that are sealed belong to God. But the things that are revealed, they belong to who? Unto us and unto our children. And just in case there's a revelation, just in case there's an insight, then a seal broke. Something open. But there must be incense coming out from earth constantly. If that which is from the earth is not available in heaven, even though there's a man of stature that has capacity to open the seal, seals do not break until there is an environment that supports the breaking of seals. He said, in every place, incense must rise to his name and a pure offering. We are going to pray. That's what we are calling the church to. This is not something we do part time. This is our first line of ministry. Priesthood. We represent the land. We stand for the nation. We stand for her people. And if God wants to reach her people, he cannot do anything except he reveals it to his servant, the prophet. You want to bring about a change in your village? Come with incense. There is something that the court of heaven, the council of elders, cannot manufacture. They can't manufacture odors. They have harps and they can bring sounds of worship. They can cast their crowns, but they need odors. Oh, I don't have time to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 10, where I will show you, after the odors come, then angels, high angels of glory, we mix that, your prayer, with spices. So that the prayer can be more effective. It will choke God in the sanctuary. Such that he cannot ignore that Benway praise. Just like you have watchers on earth, we have watchers in heaven. the watchers in heaven that are sent to watch over this territory, when prayers are offered, they carry their own spies and they add to it before they send it into the sanctuary. It's that kind of prayer that releases thunder and lightning. There's a partnership of priesthood between heaven and earth. It is only after that sound, that order ascends, that the Bible reveals in the next verse that heaven and earth sang the same song.
I will sing and I will sing and I will sing.
Listen to me. There is an alignment that earth must gain with heaven before we can push this beast of reckless wickedness back to the place from whence it has come. Don't you know the Bible says the Lord killeth? He killeth and he maketh alive. Is it that his hand has lost his skill to kill? There's no priesthood that can provoke him. Heaven and earth have not yet synchronized. You see, and in that day, heaven, earth, and even the trees will sing one song. One song. Because the priesthood has made everything align and synchronized with heaven. Only God knows how much power resides inside of us. That day of priesthood has come. And the least among us must line up. Because the strength of David will be given to everyone. As we ascend before him, in form of incense, in form of odors, let the sanctuary be saturated with the odors that are pleasing in his sight. And on the strength of that, let seals break. Let the destiny of the land that has been kept under lock and key open. Rise on your feet, we pray tonight. Who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to loose the seals and look thereon? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy that will insist that in my lifetime this treachery must come to an end? Who is worthy to open? And no man was found. We need to rewrite that verse. That verse must be rewritten. The stones have arrived. Stones have assembled. That men can be found on earth that can hold the mystery of heaven. Who is worthy? That's how they are asking questions in your family. Who can open the book of the family? Who can understand the mystery by which the family has been impoverished and kept under lock and key? Who is worthy? The secrets that have been written for your advancement are still locked. The orders must be supplied bountifully into the sanctuary for that seal to break. And there is a call. There is a call from heaven. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book? Here, there is a book that must be opened.
heavily laden with diverse kinds of sins. Who is worthy?
Baraka.
Rahana.
Cannot end at this point. There must be another insight, another proclamation, another revelation. The book must be open. And then suddenly there is a cry for a man. And angels on earth and in heaven begin to search among men. I was wondering why they did not search for angels, but the search was for men. Take a man to open. Friends, the book of your family must open. The mystery that has governed it must be revealed. Its weakness must be discovered. Listen to me, a book is opening. Senina namoria nakaya mona. Semina koda yeda rokama. Abalos. Semina yamora marakana. Shekina. Glory. Shekina. Glory. Shekina. Glory. You are holy. Thank you.
Listen to me.
Now, I see the book that contains the mystery by which a particular family has been bound. I see that book has been recovered. Listen. I'm not saying that so that you could say amen. That book has been discovered. And in the next few minutes, as I pray, God will break the yoke over that family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because of the seal that has broken just now. The seal that came up with the revelation that the time of deliverance for these ones have come. And I ask, oh God, tonight, as a law enforcement agent in the kingdom, stretch forth your hand. 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 Break that yoke. Break that yoke. Break that yoke. Break that yoke. There is a new legislation from heaven. Let angels travel far and wide. Let the ordinances written be blotted out. Let men's cages be recovered. Let lives bound be set at liberty. Oh, Semina konga na kila mona. Samaroko samarakina. Aila marata masaya monima. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something heavy is coming. I command that you break in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 In Jesus' name. Pharmacist, come. It is you that I see now. Today, and I decree that season that God has opened over you, I decree it today in the name of Jesus. God, by reason of this new season that you have brought into the life of your daughter,
let her enlarge to the left and to the right in the name of Jesus Christ. I proclaim a new season. A new season. A new season. In the name of Jesus.
I don't know if I have 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. You see, the spirit of prophecy that is here has not fully rested. But it will rest in 5 minutes. It will rest in 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will pray a prayer and the spirit will rest. It will rest. God wants to speak. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory. I give you praise. 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 I give you glory. Lord, loosen their tongues. Release the utterance. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Yes. Aha. It's coming. Loosen their tongues. Release the utterance. Loosen their tongues. Release the utterance. Loosen their tongues. Release the utterance. Okay, the river is already flowing. It's flowing. Loosen their tongues. Release the utterance. 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 In the name of Jesus. I ask, O God. I ask, O God. Aha. Atelemanda Arako. Mahato Korosi Nakadia. Marakataya Masato Katakunatuala Bad. Release the utterance. 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 Thank you, Father. Now, we are going to wait for 2 minutes. That utterance is coming. It has been released. 2 minutes. It's coming stronger, the utterance, the anointing. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Now, your eyes will see something this night. It's coming stronger. One of them will begin to behave as if she wants to give birth. He said, she's strong oil. Alabona. One of them will release that utterance. The mighty hand of God. Now, ushers, help me. I want to hear what she's saying. Put that mic there. A time for the unveiling of a new season. A new season can never come until a seal breaks.
Now, let's check if the utterances are finished. Increase your volume. Let's check.
Everything I'm doing now is internal. The time has come, Maratha. I want to pour my spirit of revival. But when I look down, I see none. I see none. Oh, that can be easily be blown by the wind. I need rocks. I need rocks to build my church again. I need stones in Nigeria. That will go in the world. To Europe. Build a pure house and a generation that will flow. Rivers of life, lively stone. That can pass through upon us. That will bring forth my beauty on the earth. Go back to your positions. Go back. Go back to your positions. And take root downward. Downward. Abasata. Shadadadadadada. Because the dark days are coming. And I need my people. Shadadadadada. Shadadadadadada. That can stand. Stand. Amashatanabakonte basuka. I can't. Any power in my counter. Mavika counter. That my words are water. We burn in them like fire. Sadadadadada. Pure matante. Flowing from my throne. Rata. Rata. Go back. Go back and mount your gates. Rata. Stones. Stones. Living. Lively. Stones. In my church. I want to build my church. The covenant I have is like the Nigeria is seated. It's seated, it's having. I need generation. I need new generation. I will start. I'm proclaiming my word.
Did you hear that? God is in need of a new generation of stones that will bear witness in this season. Now, if you can connect all the prophecies, you make a statement. The first one said there's a season that has opened. Seasons don't open until seals break in heaven.
Take your place. Take your place. Say it, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of heaven, Mister. Take your place. Who is ready? Take your place now. Take your place, my children. Take your place. Abba katafika la bashanda. Ika le bashanda la babosta kama. Eba di kataya. Take your place. Take your place. For I, the Lord your God, has spoken. Take your place. Take your place.
That is a personal charge. Personal and a corporate charge. There is a possibility of disalignment. God is bringing his words. The next 10 years will justify and vindicate a man that is aligned today. May our lives not be wasted in the years to come.
My spirit is threefold. For come and build. For there is a building that I shall make. And the building begins now. Many shall be burst. I shall make of them. I shall make of them. Precious stones. Precious stones. I begin a building. I begin a church in Nigeria. And I shall start with you.
We give you glory. We give you praise. If true incense goes up, seals are broken and there are utterances in the congregation. If true incense goes up. For a few years now, about 2 years now, God has been teaching me about the prophetic ministry. Not because of me personally, but there is a prophetic spirit that will come over this house so as to give us more potency, more penetration in the realm of the spirit. There is a new season that God has opened. I pray that this conference will be a window that will usher every one of us into this season. We give you praise and glory. We thank you. We ask that you strengthen us, that you equip us, cause your mighty hand to rest upon us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated if you can. As we round up, the cloud is gathering. But by the time the people in the Bible school are through with this session, we are going to begin a sequence of intense prayer. There is a visitation that is coming amidst us. God is going to open a window. He intends to show us mercy. And we are going to monopolize and take advantage of that window. Hallelujah. I remember many years ago, while we were on campus, a window opened, and few there were that accessed that window. 5 years down the line, we began to see the impact of that window. Grace, great grace. And there was a season coming that we blot out everybody that did not enter that window. And in that day, boys were separated from men. Destiny divide became so obvious. 5 years down the road, on the account of the appropriation of the benefits of that window. Another window opens in this season. I pray that every one of us will be able to access it in Jesus' mighty name. Prayer is a spirit. Now, what those people were doing, if that spirit doesn't come upon you, if you try to do it, we will know that it's a spirit. And we are trusting God that everyone will receive a cloven tongue of fire. That spirit of supplication will come upon you. Such as can take you for 40 years will come upon you. And you'll be galvanized for 40 years. There were encounters people had that took care of 40 years in their life. Took care of 10 years. We have an opportunity coming. I pray that God will help us to take advantage of it.